I was drinking, but it has nothing to do with my daughter's disappearance.
Lisa Irwin was reported missing 2 weeks ago today. More than 50 nuns ran in this year's Beijing Marathon to raise money for an AIDS charity. Nuns participating in a major public event is a rare sight in China because religion is state-controlled and Catholic figures tend to keep a low profile. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
My daughter's wedding day. Took some doing to get here. And that personal loan from OneMain Financial. The loan specialist even let me pick my payment date.
Ready to take a walk, Dad?
Yes.
You've made promises, we can help you keep them. We are OneMain Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to OneMainFinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. OneMain Financial, your needs, your goals, your dreams. Formerly City Financial, offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
Narrowman, why is there a bed in my office?
Well, Mr. Frenwell, to catch up on all the work, I figured we should start sleeping here.
Just call Bob from Accountemps.
Okay, but he'll need his own mattress.
We aren't ready to hire full-time, but the staff can't keep working these crazy hours. Why, Bob can handle credit and collections, accounts receivable, whatever we need.
Now I'm confused. Will Bob need a mattress or not?
Not.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
Into the throes of earnings today as reporting season kicks it up a notch. Before the opening bell, we get quarterly reports from Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, and Coca-Cola. Reports later today include Intel, plus results from Apple's first full quarter without Steve Jobs as CEO. After the bell yesterday, IBM posted earnings up 7% to almost $4 billion. The company also raising its forecast for the full year, but results missed analyst forecasts and IBM stock fell in extended trading. Fresh numbers show just how badly the budget crunch faced by local governments is hurting local job bases around the country. The National League of Cities reports 535,000 city and county jobs have been cut since the financial crisis hit in late 2008. The group expects 265,000 more local jobs could be cut by the end of next year. Global stocks falling, Japan's Nikkei down 1.5%, European indexes down about 1%, S&P futures down 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Let's all stay very zen. Chase Freedom is giving away $1 million in the $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes. Deep breath. Glide to your computer, like the Chase Freedom Facebook page, and enter for your chance to win. Ooh, I am bad at zenning. Get your cash back in the Chase Freedom $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Sweepstakes end 10/23/11. Void or prohibited. Open to U.S. residents 21 or older. For complete official rules on how to enter, go to Facebook.com/ChaseFreedomCashback. Facebook not associated with this.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trevino.
And welcome home, everybody. It is Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, and happy to be sitting in the big chair on this glorious fall-like day. It's in the 40s, in the low 40s, and some parts of the Netherlands of where my voice could be heard, maybe even in the upper 30s. That's right. It is Michigan. Gracious day to all of you. We got a great day lined up for you. And happy to be here as always. State Representative Stacey Irwin Oaks will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. We talked last week about the revenue being better in the state of Michigan than we had anticipated. The Democrats would like to create jobs with some of that money. The Republicans would like to fund their pension. I'm serious, but we'll get to that. 7:35 or so, Chris Mihalakis, our political and legislative director with United Food and Commercial Workers Union, will be live, I believe, from the from Grand Circus Park, where Occupy Detroit is ongoing. We'll check in with him. Tim Hughes with the UAW will be joining us. Cindy Estrada, deep in negotiations with the state of Michigan. Unfortunately, not able to be with us today, but Tim Hughes, more than a capable pinch hitter for Cindy this morning. So we will look forward to having Tim on in the 8 o'clock hour. And why don't we just go ahead and get this bad boy started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Hope. The first word today, hope. I spoke to, a small handful of people yesterday, got some emails regarding the Occupy Detroit event. And people are concerned, and there's a little anxiety around their concern. I'm going to address that in greater detail a little bit later on in this hour. But you have to keep hope alive. Listen, I didn't expect this to be the Wall Street equivalent here in downtown Detroit. You know, this is a movement. Movements take time, and this one will as well. But I am happy to say that there are a lot of very concerned citizens out there, and people that would like to be there for a variety of reasons, all of them legitimate, cannot be there. And that's okay, but keep hope alive. And one of the ways that you do that is by what you did yesterday, reaching out to me, asking me to do what I can. And I will. I will. But hope, ladies and gentlemen, is what has made a difference in this country for many, many years and will continue to. So, all right, we start our show today, and our first word is hope. All right, unlike anything we've had to deal with now for many, many months, I welcome Jeff Radford as I normally do, but we have literally no sports to talk about this morning, Jeffrey.
Nothing? You don't want to talk about...
you can talk Monday Night Football, but, you know, I didn't watch it. I'm not engaged. They weren't my teams.
Right. No, exactly.
You know, it's what are we going to do with ourselves? We're actually going to have to do this show.
How about the Tigers? No, they didn't play.
No.
No, not the Lions. No.
Pistons, they're not even they're not even practicing.
And we can't even talk the Wings.
No, because they're playing on some kind of college schedule where they're only playing on the weekend. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, no. How you been? We're actually going to have to talk to each other.
No, that's not going to happen. We'll think of something. We'll make something up.
You don't want to talk to me?
I always do.
Yeah, but you don't want to. The question is, do you want to?
Right.
Oh, man. I'm sure that Bruce Falk is a happy guy this morning.
Does he hate sports?
Yeah, he does. Bruce is the sports hater. In fact, had to mention it again when I saw him on Saturday at the Occupy Lansing event. And I told him I don't know what we were going to do. I told him I didn't know what we were going to do. So, Bruce, you finally get your wish.
For a little while.
For a little while. And until we have a team that plays another game. So, unfortunately, I don't think the Wings play till Friday night. And then the Lions don't play till next Sunday. So, you know, next Monday.
World Series starts soon.
Yeah,
will,
but
will
you know,
be
that's
watching
not my
that?
Thing. No.
No, you're not going to watch World Series?
I told you, I'm a homer. It's about the home team, and once the home team's out, I mean, I'll look at the score, but I know I won't be watching. I know you do. I know you're a true baseball fan. I am not.
Baseball playoffs are the greatest.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm a Tigers fan. I'm a homer. Like I said, I'm a homer. I'll admit it. I'm just a homer. That's just it for me. So that's fine. You know, we'll get through it. We were talking before the show, and we found out yesterday, we're going to play a little audio on this a little bit, but we found out, maybe it was Sunday, that Herman Cain is actually tied to the fabulously wealthy billionaire brothers, the Koch brothers. And so we were kind of figuring out some of the slogans that might be fun to attach to the Herman Cain campaign. Now that we know that he is a butt buddies with the Koch brothers. And so it would be something like, you know, make sure you vote for Koch Cain.
If they ran on the same ticket, that would
right.
be great.
You
well,
know,
I guess it wouldn't be great, but it would be funny.
It would be creative. We could get very creative with it, you know. Because, you know, the Koch brothers make a lot of stuff that we use on a daily basis, like toilet paper. Which has its own irony.
And because the GOP has the market on being patriotic, so how about if you don't vote to cocaine, then you're not American.
There you go. No, you know, we could get crazy with this, and perhaps we will. Maybe we'll throw it up on Facebook. And then we'll pick our best slogan, cocaine slogan. Of course, Coke is spelled C-O-K-O-C-H, Coke. Just the way that it's pronounced. You know, there was this, I don't know, about a year ago, there was this big campaign to boycott anything the Koch brothers, you know, benefit from. And when they published the list of groceries that their company touches, it was impossible to boycott them.
Right, yeah, you'd have to basically grow your own vegetables.
Right, and that's the crazy thing. So, you know, and I'm not a big believer in boycotts anyway. I don't think they work, in my opinion. I mean, you could probably do it at a local level, it would work, but on a national level, you know, because we've all gotten the email, don't buy gas on Tuesday. You know, just don't do it. But the reality is, if people were to actually do it and they needed gas, they'd be buying it on Monday or Wednesday. So I don't know that the local gas station's really out. And then you're penalizing the local gas station, who has nothing to do with what happens at the corporate level. So, you know, I'm not a big believer in boycotts. I just don't think they work.
And that's the fun. Well, it's not funny, but friends of mine were actually offended. Like, oh, I can't buy gas today. They would actually do it because people were saying, don't do it. Like, they couldn't wait a day to go get gas. Not that, like you said, not that it would really affect anyone, but I can't do it today. Who tells me what to do? I'm going to go buy some gas. And it was like, geez.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't about you, dude, but that's all right. Yeah, well, again. It's just one of those things where, you know, most of us buy gas when we, you know, when we need it, obviously, but a lot of people buy it just once, maybe twice a week. And so, you know, to not buy it on that given day probably wasn't much of a sacrifice for a lot of people. And again, I just don't think that boycotts work. I do think this Occupy movement will work as it continues to grow. I think it's going to work in a big way. Now we got to figure out what's the ask. What do we want out of this? And we're not holding people hostage. You know, that's not what the Occupy movement's about. It's not about holding ideas hostage or people hostage or politicians hostage or corporations hostage. But it is about, you know, getting them to finally start doing the right thing. Whatever that means to people, you know, different strokes for different folks. But, you know, I believe in this movement. I believe in the Occupy movement. And, again, I got some, you know, a couple calls, but mostly emails yesterday. People very angst-filled because they're looking at the Detroit Occupy movement. They're going, wow, there just aren't enough people. Well, slow down. There are people, and it is growing, and it's going to take time. You know, someone said, can you please call all the unions and ask them to sponsor, and I don't know what they mean by sponsor, but sponsor some of their members to go down there. And, of course, I know the UAW is very much in favor of the Occupy movement. I know the American Federations of Teachers is, because they've been posting and blogging on it. I'm sure the UFCW is. Don't know about the other ones, but we can easily find that out. But I know the UAW late in the day on Friday sent a memo to all of their locals, you know, encouraging them to send people and support and supplies and donations if they so choose. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. Can organized labor do more? I don't know. I imagine they can always do more. We can always all do more. And so I guess that's really the point there. But I'll certainly throw it out there right now. You know, if you're in organized labor, you're in a union, ask your union if they'll do something to support the Occupy Detroit event movement that's going on at Grand Circus Park. That's simple. Yeah, that's that simple. That's all you have to do. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We're, of course, always open lines in this first hour. Let me get you some information so that you can connect with us. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, as always, @TonyTrupiano, @TonyTrupiano. All right, we'll take the quick break here. A lot to get to, not only in this hour, but throughout the morning. Always happy to be with you. I'm Tony Trupiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
It's Congress that does the spending. The president is prohibited to do that. If he had the power to do that, he would be making the spending decisions. He would be making the taxing decisions. Clearly, that's unconstitutional.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine out there on the freeways right now. No reports of the accidents or slowdowns. It's a little bit early for that yet. M59 eastbound, that exit ramp to northbound 75 is currently closed. The westbound side, that ramp to southbound 75 is closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 50s, a chance of rain after 2 o'clock tonight. Rain is expected, a low around 46. Tomorrow, rain is an almost certainty, a high near 55 degrees. Right now, it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. @TonyTrupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. And tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. A couple stories more local that I want to clean up before we get into some national politics today. And if you've not heard, there's another Republican debate this evening. This one's going to take place in Las Vegas. So that'll be all the rage tomorrow. Herman Cain, of course, is going to expect, now that he's a quote-unquote front-runner, to take a lot of heat this evening. We'll get to that in a little bit. But there are a couple stories locally that I wanted to address. You'll remember we had Erica Nader on the show last week. She was the young woman that was paralyzed from the chest down after an automobile accident. And you'll also recall there's a bill quickly making its way through the House, much too quickly for most people's comfort level, that would change automobile no fault. Now, this is something that we want to vote no against. We don't want to pass this. Because ultimately, it's just a win for insurance companies. It puts more money in their pocket. It does not guarantee that your rates will go down. And if they do, it would be for a very short period of time. And there's nothing that historically tells us that change in legislation equates to less dollars out of your pocket. Well, with that said, the group that is opposed to these legislative changes against the automotive no-fault law have come out with a commercial. We wanted to play that commercial for you this morning.
At a time when household budgets are stretched and families are struggling to make ends meet, the legislature is thinking of adding costs to your insurance bill. House Bill 4936 would raise the cost of auto insurance and leave patients with higher medical bills. So why are lawmakers in Lansing rushing to pass this legislation? Call your representative and tell them you don't want to pay the price for poor legislation.
All right, and so, you know, they'll tell you, you know, that ad says that it would increase the cost of your out-of-pocket costs. So why would, you know, the commercial say that? And then those that are supporting the changes into the automotive no-fault say, no, it'll actually save you money because, it will eventually cost you more money. There's an out-of-pocket. There's no question that's true. But the other part of that is the medical cost. What it would do is it would limit the cap if you were to be catastrophically hurt in an automobile accident. It would eliminate what we now have is an infinite insurance guarantee that as long as your automobile accident-related injuries need medical care, they are covered. This new law would put a cap on the dollar amount that would be covered. Now, you can understand why that would be, especially someone in Erica's case, where she will need a lifetime of care, why that would be a concern to people that have been victims of said accidents. And, of course, the insurance companies ultimately make out on this for obvious reasons. There would be a cap on what they would have to come out of pocket for. The bottom line, though, is that this fund is actually set aside. This money is set aside. The fund is got a healthy balance in it. There's no threat that they can't cover the bills, the medical expenses of those that have been afflicted with injuries as a result of an automobile accident. And so it makes no logical sense for us to eliminate or to change that legislation. So, folks, you need to pay attention to this stuff. You know, the other morning when we brought this up, there was another piece of legislation that escapes my memory right now, but, you know, we had somebody that called and said, my God, you know, in the last hour, You know, you informed me of two pieces of legislation that would actually be devastating to the average Michigander. And it's true. There were two bills right in a row that would have done that. Why are the Republicans so insistent on changing everything that we have come to rely on? Because they can. Because they have the votes to do it. When you have a supermajority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate, and you have a Republican governor and a Republican Supreme Court, yeah, you're going to see an opportunity for things to go your way. And this is about paying back those donors, like the Koch brothers at the more of the national level. But you pay back those donors, insurance companies, corporations that have contributed to your, you know, campaign coffers. And this is one of the ways they do that, quid pro quo. And it's this is problematic. There's no question about it. All right, another story that we covered last week was in Highland Park, DTE was actually going around taking down streetlights. They have a real problem financially, as we know there. They have an emergency manager. We know that there is not money for some of the necessities. But is it good business, good city business, to turn off the lights at night? Now, Highland Park, God bless them, does not have the lowest crime rate in the region. And they have lots of pockets in that city that are not inhabited. And it's very, very dangerous not to have streetlights up. But even they, of course, are having problems figuring this out. Let's listen to a piece that was done on WXYZ TV, Channel 7, yesterday.
The mayor was saying he hoped to find more money to add some lights back to the streets in Highland Park that were turned off. But the city council president says the money just isn't there. Highland Park's lighting-challenged neighborhoods in the spotlight tonight at the city's weekly council meeting. The mayor once again defending himself, saying he is not to blame for how and where the street lamps were removed.
I hear a lot about boom, dead point, finger point. I don't get into that. I can tell you this. I did not say where those lights would be decommissioned.
The council president shot back, saying the lighting removal plan was a group decision, which did involve someone from the mayor's office.
This council, along with an appointee from the mayor's office, made the decision to have the lights turned off and the lights that we have now put in the city.
DTE removed 1,400 of Highland Park's 1,900 streetlights. As part of the deal, DTE is forgiving Highland Park's $4 million bill. Tonight, council members said this was a simple matter of balancing the budget.
I just want the records to show that we as a group, as the council, as a representative of his, made that decision together to try and better our city.
Although the decision to turn off most of the city's lights is not popular, residents who showed up tonight had a sympathetic ear.
We've got an emergency financial manager, and we've gotten out of that. We want to stay out of that.
And the council and the residents that were here seem to agree there is unity here in Highland Park, that by working together they can solve this problem. They're urging all residents to turn a porch light on if they can to help out now that a lot of the streets are dark.
Well, you know, again, I like the esprit de corps, if you will, the community coming together, understanding or being more understanding as to why it's happening. But it is problematic when, you know, 1,400 of their 1,900 streetlights have been extinguished. Think about, and of course in Detroit, they have a very similar problem, although theirs is more equated to vandalism. And as a result of that vandalism, they have more and more streetlights out. It's devastating. Oh, we're going to take a quick break here. Tom in Detroit will be up next. If you'd like to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. We'll take the break and be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine out there on the roadways. We are accident and slowdown free. Of course, we do have some road construction that will take place a little bit later on this morning. 94 east and westbound between Merriman and Telegraph will have a road crew out there doing some patching. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, 30% chance of rain after 2 o'clock. Mostly cloudy otherwise, a high in the upper 50s. Tonight the rain moves in. Going to stick around for a while, low around 46. Rain still here tomorrow. Gusty winds out of the northeast. Chance of rain is 100%, and that rain will stick around through Wednesday night. Right now it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
If your child's clothing catches fire, it's important to act quickly. If you have access to a fire blanket, cover them and drop them to the ground. Instruct them to cover their face with their hands. Roll them back and forth until the fire is extinguished. If your child is...
You know how to help your child if their clothes catch fire. But do you know how to help them if they have a drug problem? Visit drugfree.org for information, help, and advice. This message brought to you by the partnership at drugfree.org.
And just like that, she was gone. Sarah Palin, the phantasmagoric shooting star of far right-wing wackiness, has formally bowed out of the 2012 presidential race. Apparently, her decision was God-sent. We can assume this because in her 2008 vice presidential run, Palin explained her decision-making process to us on a Fox TV show. I'm like, okay, God, if there is an open door for me somewhere, this is what I always pray. I'm like, don't let me miss the open door. Show me where the open door is, even if it's just cracked up a little bit. Maybe I'll plow right on through that. Maybe prematurely plow through it, but don't let me miss an open door. Eons from now, archaeologists will unearth this truly awesome and breathless sentence and say, huh? But for us political observers today, that burst of Palinese simply translates to this: God showed Sarah the door. In breaking the news of her departure from the political stage, the Fox Made Millionaire trotted out her family again, declaring that she decided not to run out of respect for them. Uh-huh. And out of respect for polls showing that only 21% of Americans have a favorable opinion of her. Also, get this, 3/4 of the Republican primary voters said they did not want her in the race. But let's give her credit. Yes, she's shown herself to be an incoherent, frighteningly unqualified, and far-out political figure. But without her, the door would not have opened for Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, and other incoherent, frighteningly unqualified, and far-out Republican contenders. This is Jim Hightower saying, Palin would probably give credit to God for opening the door for Bachmann, Perry, and company, but I don't think God hates America that much. So take a bow, Sarah. You earned this one.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning First Shift program. Time to turn out the lights, turn up the lights, turn up the volume. We got to pay attention to what's going on around here. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit. Good morning, my brother. How are you today?
Good morning for my national anthem.
Thank you.
But anyway, you know, I wanted to reference this article on the front page of Sunday's paper. It was written by Jim Fisher and John Gallagher with some contribution by Chastity Pratt-Dawsey. And what it says is, more and more nations loving the D. Attitudes and the city itself are changing. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, they didn't go into this whole thing and paint this flowery picture of how Detroit is, you know, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. We still have our problems. But, you know, when you look at, you know, the I like to say, when you look at the incredible sense of pride that the Tigers gave us and the way the Lions have come on like gangbusters in terms of, you know, that kind of thing right there, you know, it's really a good thing, because here it says, you know, some of the comments. Detroit's engine roars on the signs of turnaround. Wall Street Journal, Detroit Rising, USA Today, the art of coming back from tough times, the International Business News. And, I've been here since 1953. I came here when I was 6 years old with my parents. And when I came here, Detroit was a beautiful city. We were probably about the fourth or fifth largest city in the country. And, I mean, you know, the change that time has brought has not been good for Detroit, as evidenced by the way it is right. We've lost 1,100,000-plus people out of this city. And that's enough to probably make up about the 10th or the 11th largest city in the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have that kind of tax base leave, and, you know, when you're heavily dependent on property tax, I mean, that's a god-awful lot of money that you don't have to basically, I mean, almost run the city anymore. But, you know, but I'm hopeful. You know, like, you know, down the road, how far that is, we are going to be okay. And we're going to be a smaller and much better managed and run city than we're, you know, than this dysfunction that we're in right now. I mean, you know, like so with the D commercial about, I believe, and that's exactly what I believe.
Well, I believe too. You know, Tom, I thought the article, I did read that article. It was very well written. There's something about Detroit that people want to cheer for it. I think part of it is that, you know, there was a time that you speak of in this country where Detroit was that shining light on the hill. It was the place that people went to where they were guaranteed to find a job. Even if they were trying to find themselves, they knew if they came to Detroit, they would have a job.
Exactly.
We opened our arms to all ethnicities. I mean, Detroit really was a magnet for immigrants around the world for many, many decades, Tom.
Mm-hmm. And, right, exactly.
You know, and unfortunately, we don't have as much as we once did. I mean, we think about communities like Hamtramck, which is, of course, a very close suburb of Detroit, you know, and the Polish community there. I mean, Tom, I'm sure you remember there used to be that old adage that you could eat off the streets in Hamtramck because it was so clean. It was such a clean town.
Exactly. And let me say this, and then I'm going to go. The song "Hello Detroit" by Sammy Davis.
Absolutely, yeah.
When it opens, it says, "You're a fighter, you're a lover, you are strong, and you'll recover from whatever gets you down." And, I mean, we've been through hard times before, and we've jumped the hurdle or we've climbed the mountain, okay? And right now, you know, Detroit's in the ER room, all right? We're in the, you know, we're in the emergency room, and, I mean, we're kind of like on life support, but the pulse is getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I agree. Tom, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks
as always, I appreciate your perspective. 888-552-3595. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Dave in Farmington. Dave, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, I was listening to you talk about some of the issues with the lighting.
Yeah.
And there's another huge one that I don't think really the general public's aware of it, and that's the fact that the lighting system is antiquated in the city. And there's a big issue with the maintenance of them because the system's antiquated. Manufacturers aren't making parts for the system.
Yep.
So the city and the lighting company is forced to basically go on eBay, for lack of a better terminology, looking for used parts.
No, you're right. I mean, that's a serious problem, especially in the city of Detroit, where people are harvesting these streetlight poles for those transformers that are housed at the very base of the streetlights, and they're selling it for scrap. And, you know, and unfortunately, they just can't go rebuy that stuff because, you know, once it goes into the scrap bin, I don't know what happens to it. But, you know, Dave, you're right. This is a very serious problem. And in order to replace the streetlights is a costly endeavor that we can't even consider.
Right. And on that being stated, the system is a high per loom cost factor. So, you know, they can't afford to upgrade it, and yet they're being really inefficient with the cost per, you know, per wattage or per loom of light.
Right.
It doesn't, it's just an unfortunate situation that.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people
really don't see an out.
Right, a lot of people think, well, they just need to change the light bulbs and then everything would be fine. Well, that would, if that were true, and it's not, that would be one thing, number one. Number two, you know, a lot of these light bulbs, these bulbs aren't even made for these street lights any longer. And so that creates its own set of problems. So you're 100% right, Dave. It's a multi-layered problem that does not have a quick or easy and certainly not inexpensive solution. So I don't, I don't know what's happened. I will say, and Dave, thanks for your call. In Highland Park, part of what they were doing is they were replacing old streetlights. They were, of course, they took some of them down, but they were replacing some of the older ones with newer ones. When I was when I had a restaurant in Wyandotte, I was on the Downtown Development Authority, and Wyandotte owns their own lighting, their own electrical, their grid, and so they were replacing a lot of the streetlights around the city with the new LED streetlights, and some of that stuff you can get with grants. And I know that the mayor of Highland Park had talked about getting grants to replace some of the streetlights there. But they are far more efficient, would save them a great deal of money over the traditional streetlights. But, you know, to me, this is also, as it is for anybody that looks at this issue, it's about crime. And when you have a city that is already stressed beyond measure, and once it gets dark, especially this time of year when it starts getting darker earlier and earlier, and we know we're just a few weeks out of changing our clocks again, and it's going to be dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we'll be in virtual and literal darkness from, 5 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning. And then to have these distressed communities not have streetlights, that's just begging for problems. I think it's wonderful that DTE is working with the city of Highland Park, but forgiving their debt is fine. That's wonderful. And I understand that the reason that they took down these streetlights were to make it more cost efficient for the city, because at some point, you do have to pay for the services that you use, including if you're a municipality. But this does not solve the greater problem, which is no streetlights. Now, I don't know. And, Jeff, let me ask you. I don't know. One of the things that the end of that piece said that we played was, they're asking people to turn their porch light on. But, I don't know about you, but I don't think a porch light isn't going to do much, even if everybody on the block had their porch light on, if it's going to do much to illuminate the street.
No, yeah. Those street lights give off a lot more light. I mean, that's the reason why they're even around, or else, everyone would just turn their porch light on. And asking somebody to turn their porch light on, I would have my porch light on anyway, just because you'd want to light up your house a little bit, but that doesn't, that doesn't help the street at all. It helps your yard.
Well, I'm just kind of curious how many people even turn their porch light on. I don't know that, it's not expensive to turn a light bulb, just a light bulb on, and even if it runs all night long. And I'm just curious how many people even use their porch light.
Do you?
Yeah, we do. We have it on. Now, we turn it off, once everybody goes to bed, it goes off. But we normally have it on in the evening, illuminate the front of the house.
Right, yeah, you want, I guess you would want to kind of let people know, hey, we're here, and you want to be able to see things outside. If you have your light off, doesn't that I guess it doesn't, scream, come, do some crime.
No,
or anything.
It doesn't scream that, but certainly it's leaving the light on discourages somebody from sneaking up and,
right.
Even if it's just soap in your window or whatever, I'm not going to, get into that, but. Yeah, I know. I think it's, there's a reason why their houses are designed with lights on them. If there wasn't a necessity for it, they wouldn't be there. And so, no, I think it's important. It's just, I'm just curious, not curious, I'm just concerned because in the city of Detroit, certainly in Highland Park, where, the streetlights, are even more important than they might be in some of the suburbs, to take away and to me, that's part of protecting your community. To take that away is really problematic and troublesome at a lot of levels. So I'm very concerned how they're going to deal with that. No, to go from 1,900 lights to 500 streetlights throughout an entire city, that's a huge drop. I mean, that's just massive. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that. I really don't. Interesting stuff. Okay, quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Herman Koch Kane, because we now know that he's connected to the Koch brothers. So
you love that, don't you?
I just thought it was very clever. That's all.
It's a good slogan. Well, a good slogan against them. Anyway.
Against them, right? Well, you know, it's the 999, turn it upside down, 666. That wasn't nearly as good as the Koch connection, though. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in with First Shift this morning on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Ooh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. True or false? Netflix lets you watch movies instantly through your game console or other devices.
Duh. True.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Sarah Chambers. Most people at 24 years old, Sarah, are not international organizers for the United Auto Workers. How did you get here?
When I was younger, my mom has been involved my whole life, and I used to go on pickets with her, and it used to be a punishment, and then one day she realized I loved doing it. If I don't stand up, looking at history, if I don't stand up, who's going to?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WD.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And 10 minutes before the top of the hour, if you're just getting going on this Tuesday morning, it's chilly out there, so bundle up. Man, oh man, oh man. It's cold, no question about it. It's that time of year. Herman Cain has become the darling of the Republican Party. He is now considered, in many polls, a front runner, tied in some of them with Mitt Romney. And, of course, there will be a debate this evening in Las Vegas amongst the GOP hopefuls. We can expect, of course, Herman Cain will take some pretty big hits. He was on with David Gregory on Meet the Press this past Sunday, and had some thoughts on a variety of issues, including our first one, which is the Occupy Wall Street movement. Herman Cain.
What do they make of it?
What do they want?
Well, I don't know what they want, but I think they think that the banks have given them a raw deal over the last few years.
I don't have facts to back this up, but I happen to believe that these demonstrations are planned and orchestrated to distract from the failed policies of the Obama administration. Don't blame Wall Street. Don't blame the big banks. If you don't have a job and you're not rich, blame yourself.
You don't think the banks have anything to do with the crisis that we went into in 2008?
They did have something to do with the crisis that we went into in 2008, but we are not in 2008. We're in 2011, okay? Yes, they had a big part to do with it. And obviously you could go back and say, okay, what did the banks do to do this? These demonstrations, I honestly don't understand. What are they looking for? To me, they come across more as anti-capitalism. Hmm. That's basically what it comes across as. When I was growing up, I was blessed to have had parents that didn't teach me to be jealous of anybody and didn't teach me to be envious of somebody. Hmm. It is not a person's fault because they succeeded. It is a person's fault if they failed. And so this is why I don't understand these demonstrations and what is it that they're looking for.
Well, this isn't about envy and it's not about jealousy. It's about social justice. It's about opportunity. As I've said repeatedly, I don't think anybody in the Occupy movement is looking for anybody to hand them anything. They're looking for an access to opportunity. That's what they're looking for. Herman Cain goes on to talk about his 999 program, which would include a federal sales tax. And, well, I don't know. It gets a little bit interesting. But here with David Gregory, he has a little difficult time explaining the sales tax combination between the federal and the state.
The real political defect, the Journal writes, of the Cain plan is that it imposes a new national sales tax while maintaining the income tax. Mr. Cain's rates are seductively low, but the current income tax was introduced in 1913 with a top rate of 7% amid promises that it would never exceed 10%. By 1918, the top rate was 77%. The politics of a national sales tax is bad enough on its own. A 9% rate, when combined with state and local levies, would mean a tax on goods of 17% or more in many places. The cries for exemptions would be great.
Don't combine it with state taxes. This doesn't address state taxes. If you add them together, yes, you'll get that number. This is a replacement structure. These are replacement taxes. They're not on top of anything. We replace capital gains tax. We replace the payroll tax. We replace corporate income tax, replace personal income tax, and replace the death tax. It'll be replaced.
Well, where do state taxes go? You're saying they're going to be repealed?
If you, with the current structure, you have state taxes, right? So with this new structure, you're still going to have state taxes. That is muddying the water.
How so?
Because today, under the current tax code, state taxes are there if they have it. If they don't have state taxes, they don't have it. It has nothing to do with this replacement structure for the federal tax.
But that
code
doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm already paying state taxes and I have a new Cain administration national sales tax, I got more state taxes.
No, you don't.
How so? You're not saying they're going away.
David, your state taxes are the same. Your federal taxes, in most cases, are going to go down. That's muddying the
water. The Wall Street Journal says you have one on top of the other. There's a combined levy.
That is not correct, David. Let's try this one more time. State taxes are there today. The current tax code is a 10-million word mess. You have probably thousands of loopholes and tricks and what I call sneaker taxes in the current code. State taxes today, whatever they are, zero or some number, has nothing to do with replacing the tax code. Nothing.
All right, everybody understand that? Anybody? Show of hands? That's what I thought.
I love how he never answers. I mean, he skirts away from the question. I mean,
yeah, but he really thinks he's answering it. Right. That's the scary part. I mean, he's saying, he's looking at David Gregory. He's talking to, you can hear it in his voice, like, what don't you get about this, David?
Like, David Gregory's saying you got a state tax and then a national sales tax. If you buy something, you're going to get taxed by the state and then by the government. He's like, well, forget about state taxes. That's not what we're talking about here. Just talking about the national sales tax here. It's only going to be 9%. Yeah, but you don't get it when you add both of them together. No. That's how it's going to go down. It's like, geez, you're not understanding the question, Herman Cain.
No, he's avoiding the questions, what he's doing. Well, last but not least, Again, David Gregory with Herman Cain on the public support, huge public support for the 999 plan.
What I suggested is that, according to our leadership right now, there is an intractable difference about lowering marginal rates. And you're saying you can build support to throw out the entire tax code?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Based on what?
Based upon the
many... How do you do it?
Hey, David, based upon the many speeches I've given when I talk to people, I've been out there talking to voters. That's what... Look, ultimately, they're going to listen to their constituency. The assumption is they're not going to listen to the people. There is a huge amount of public support for 999. Just talk to anybody. This is what's going to help us get it passed, the public support. Now, here's one other thing that I'm doing differently than maybe
the previous one. I just want to break that down. So you're acknowledging this morning, which I haven't heard you do before, that there are individuals who are going to pay more in taxes.
There are some.
And yes. You think those people are going to rally around tax reform where the wealthy pay less and middle class and lower income folks pay more?
Yes.
You think that's going to create a grassroots support for them?
Oh, yes, because if they do the math, do the math on your individual situation, people are going to benefit of several other ways other than whether they pay more in taxes. The fact that they're not going to have the cost of filing and compliance, that's a $430 billion bill for all of us every year. So if they do the math on their individual situation, I believe that they more people are going to see it's advantageous. Now, here is another way, another piece of the puzzle that will help me get this passed. Public support and simplicity.
Yeah, public support and simplicity. You know, Jeff, here's the deal. It on the surface, this almost sounds like it's worth considering. But the problem is, and Herman Cain just admitted it, it places the burden of higher taxation on the poor and the middle class.
The fact that he admitted that was outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think there's going to be a grassroots support? People are going to clamor for more taxes on the poor and middle class? Yeah, of course. What? That was outstanding to me. I can't believe he admitted that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we desperately need tax reform in this country, but obviously, 999, it sounds, I mean, you know, again, if it's something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. We'll leave that alone. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. State Representative Stacey Irwin Oakes on the other side. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. CNN. With headline news, this is First Shift. Thank you for joining us this early Tuesday morning. We've got a lot to get to, so you're going to want to stay with us throughout the morning. And as always, I appreciate you being there. I'm Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're starting to see some heavy traffic out there. Nothing that's really going to delay you an awful lot, but still some heavier traffic. 696 westbound between Cousins and 75, and then sort of a southbound from 12 Mile down through 696. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 58, a chance of rain after 2 o'clock, and then the rain moves in tonight. A low around 46 chance of rain is 100%. Same goes for tomorrow. Lots of rain, a high near 55. Breezy winds over the northeast as well. Right now it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit is free following a prisoner swap with the Palestinians. Chief Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat downplayed the role of Hamas.
Doesn't matter who did it. As a matter of fact, it's good that those people are coming back to their families.
Israel is releasing hundreds of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for Shalit. Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev says it was a difficult but necessary decision.
We are minimizing the risk to Israeli citizens. We are minimizing the risk of terrorist attacks by these people released against Israeli civilians. And I hope we found here the right balance.
Shalit had been held captive by Hamas for 5 years. The FBI busted a guy it says was trying to smuggle drugs onto a flight in Los Angeles. CNN's Greg Black says the suspect may have had some inside help.
The scheme unraveled when a baggage handler smelled marijuana inside a suitcase and called authorities. The bag belonged to 23-year-old Millage Jonathan Peaks, the son of a former Los Angeles fire chief. He was pulled from the plane and arrested, admitting that a veteran TSA official had been helping him to bypass security. She, too, was arrested, and both of them face an arraignment hearing next month. Authorities say Peek's sister is a member of the L.A. Airport Police Department, but she had no idea what he was up to. Greg Black, CNN.
Not all of the Republican presidential candidates will be at the CNN debate in Las Vegas tonight. John Huntsman is skipping it to protest Nevada's decision to move the date of its caucus ahead of the New Hampshire primary. Stocks will try to recover from big losses Monday. Economist Larry Shimron says it's nothing to get real worried about.
I wouldn't make a big deal of it, though, because most likely it's just another one-day hit.
Stock futures are mixed prior to the opening bell on Wall Street. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
With everyone working on the go, holding an impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. Not anymore. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you could host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from a computer or iPad. And now they can join from the iPhone or any Android mobile device, too. Download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions, or host your own meetings with a free 45-day trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use promo code 45.
A month after Boeing finally delivered its first 787 Dreamliner jet to an airline customer, another snag is appearing in what the company considers its great hope for future growth. Corporate customers upset about the three-year delay getting the ultra-fuel-efficient planes built are canceling their orders. Yesterday, China Eastern Airlines canceled its order for 24 Dreamliners. Boeing says more orders likely will be falling through in coming days. You've been hearing about large-scale job losses for county and city governments the past few years, including police and fire and school teachers. Research by the National League of Cities finds 535,000 jobs have been cut from local budgets since 2008, and another 265,000 local jobs could be cut by the end of next year. Weaker-than-expected economic growth in China have slammed global markets. Asian and European stocks down. Trying to hang on here, though, S&P futures down just 1, NASDAQ futures gaining 8. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter's wedding day. Took some doing to get here, and that personal loan from OneMain Financial. The loan specialist even let me pick my payment date.
Ready to take a walk, Dad?
Yes.
You've made promises, we can help you keep them. We are OneMain Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to OneMainFinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. OneMain Financial, your needs, your goals, your dreams. Formerly City Financial, offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
Nerlman, why is there a bed in my office?
Well, Mr. Frenwell, to catch up on all the work, I figured we should start sleeping here.
Just call Bob from Accountants.
Okay, but he'll need his own mattress.
We aren't ready to hire full-time, but the staff can't keep working these crazy hours. Why, Bob can handle credit and collections, accounts receivable, whatever we need.
Now I'm confused. Will Bob need a mattress or not?
Not.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountants, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at Accountants.com.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this second hour of our First Shift program. If you're just punching in with us, well, welcome aboard. We've got a lot of great stuff to get to you this morning. At 7:35, Chris Mihalakis will be joining us. It is my understanding we'll be live at Grand Circus Park, but certainly will give us an update on the Occupy Detroit movement. Of course, we're very much interested in what's going on there, and we'll discuss that in greater detail as we work our way throughout the program today. I want to remind you, if you want to join us, as always, the toll-free number 888-552-3595, the email address tony@thetonyshow.org, and last but certainly not least on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Well, we had discussed in great detail on Thursday and Friday's show, a little good news that there was going to be projected up to $500 million, up to $400-500 million coming into the state coffers, which were not originally anticipated. Of course, that brought up the discussion, which we had on this very show, what to do with that money. Now, it's, of course, no surprise that the Democrats and Republicans have a very different view on where those monies should go. But when we discuss, with my next guest in just a minute, what the Republicans want to do, you'll understand why the Occupy movement is perhaps founded in some sense of new reality. It seems, anyway, that Republicans are more concerned about helping Wall Street than they are about helping Main Street. So let me turn to my guest. Joining me now is Stacey Irwin-Oakes. She's a Democrat from Saginaw and joins us today as a state representative to talk about this influx of cash and how we might want to spend it. Representative, it's great to have you back on First Shift. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Now, I got to tell you, as I was reading the press release that your office sent out, it didn't surprise me, but of course it was really disheartening to read that what the Republicans really want to do with this $500 million is to make sure that their pensions are going to be fully realized. In the meantime, those of us that are looking for work stand at the side, sat on the sidelines going, what about us?
I agree. And, you know, at the end of the day, funding pensions is important. That was a contractual obligation. However, right now, we're obligated to getting people back to work and getting jobs.
Well, so, you know, it makes me wonder. I want to talk, if you can, a little bit about the Michigan Jobs Now plan, which is HB 4758. Now, before you give us some of the details of that, let me just share with the audience. The Republicans would not even consider the bill for discussion in committee. But what would HB 4758, also known as Michigan Jobs Now, do?
Basically, what Michigan Jobs Now would do is make sure people who are in Michigan who are qualified for positions, whether that be skills trades or construction work, are considered for them jobs first. We have people coming from Ohio, Illinois to do construction jobs, to do engineering jobs. When we have people right in the community with skilled trades who can do those jobs right in the state of Michigan. And that bill would basically say that people in the state of Michigan will get the first opportunities at those jobs.
Well, why would anybody be opposed to that?
I don't know. I think that's probably a better question to ask to somebody on the other side of the aisle. We couldn't even get the conversation, let alone you know, an explanation for why we couldn't get the bill moved.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Not that I haven't asked Republicans to join us on this show. They never seem to return my call, and I guess I understand that it's because they don't want to answer certain questions. But, you know, Representative Oakes, as we really look at what's happening around us, you know, it seems clear to me, and not as Democrats or Republicans, but as just members of this community we call the state of Michigan, citizens of this great state, that, you know, we are suffering, that we have been picked on, we have been tattered, we have been torn. You know, and at the end of the day, we still stand proud and we still stand together and we still understand that really what most of us want to do is to make sure that there's opportunity for other people. And I would think that at some level, HB 4758 kind of fulfills a promise that should be kept. And that's just to kind of, in a very small way, you know, be the brother that helps the brother, the sister that helps the sister.
And I agree. And, you know, with our approach, we would improve roads, which is something everyone agrees needs to happen. We would achieve savings through clean energy, which is something everyone agrees needs to happen. And most importantly, we would have a plan that actually puts people back to work now. Now, some would argue that, you know, you can't say you're trying to do infrastructure and we're heading towards the winter. But as a former assistant attorney general, where MDOT was my client, the plans for those that road work started now in the spring and in the summers when the work actually got done. So for me, that argument goes nowhere. And I agree that people are sick of the bickering. They don't want to hear from Democrats or Republicans unless they're talking about jobs, and that's what we're talking about here.
Well, but here's the difference. As you know, Stacey Irwin Oakes, the Democrats are constantly talking about jobs. Republicans never seem to want to talk about jobs. And again, I know that you can't answer for why they continue to deflect that conversation. But certainly, and let's go back and take a look at this unexpected windfall in revenue, which could end up being over $500 million. The idea that we wouldn't take a significant portion of that and really reinvest it in our own people, frankly, it's our money anyway, that we wouldn't take a significant portion of that and reinvest in our people, I think that sends a message that if I'm a Republican, I just don't care about the people.
Well, I think they've sent that message time and time again, you know, first with trying to tax pensions, then raiding the school aid fund, and we would support a constitutional amendment to make sure that never happens again. And, you know, I know this is off message, but we're currently looking at no-fault legislation and workers' comp legislation that ultimately protects insurance companies and corporations and does nothing for the people and actually does nothing for the state of Michigan because it would eventually put those costs back on the state of Michigan. So, you know, I totally agree. And to make the argument that saving it for the rainy day fund is a good thing, but at this point it is pouring, raining, and families are hurting and drowning in debt and want an opportunity to have a job.
Well, again, I you know, as I talk to and certainly people that interact with the show, Representative, you know, on a daily basis with me, I hear stories, as I'm sure you do through your office all day long, you know, Saginaw, not unlike what's happening in here, here in Southeast Michigan. You know, we have our friends, our family, our neighbors that are continuing not to just struggle at this point, but to figure out how to get to any sense of something that looks like hope. And, you know, I start off every show with a little feature I called Word of the Day. Today's Word of the Day was hope. And I tell people, as long as you have hope, you have something. But when we can't turn to something at all, when we look to the legislature and we can't give people a reason for hope, it's kind of hard to ask them to hold on to something that just is more than a mirage than anything else. Any chance that we can get the Republicans to come off dead center on this?
I think as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Occupy Wall Street, I think that message will start to resonate with them, I hope. At the end of the day, we couldn't get them to budge much on pensions. We couldn't get them to not take $1.8 billion to give a 84% tax break to corporations. But at this point, I'm hopeful. I will stick with your word of the day. I'm hopeful that they would see that every resource we have should be focused on creating jobs and getting people back to work right away.
Well, what we can do as an audience, of course, is reach out to our elected representatives. I don't care if they are Democrats or Republicans. I'll remind you, as I do all the time, folks, that even if you know your representative is going to vote in favor of legislation that you agree on, they still need to know that you support that legislation. So reach out to your elected representatives. Tell them to support HB 4758. That's HB 4758. And maybe, just maybe, if enough of you do that, we could change a vote or two along the way. I will say, with regard, you had mentioned the automotive no-fault bill. I was happy to see that a couple Republicans did vote against their own caucus. Will it be enough? Will it make a difference? I don't have the answer to that. But I would like to think, Representative Stacey Irwin Oaks, that at least there are a couple Republicans that are beginning to understand that they were represented, they were elected to represent all the people, not just the Republicans in their district.
Definitely. And that's part of the reason why I mentioned that. I know those Republican colleagues were coming out of caucus looking pretty sad, but at the end of the day, one's a chiropractor, and he knows the effects that would happen if we passed a no-fault legislation that got rid of unlimited medical. Keep in mind, only 0.1% of people fall in the category that actually use that type of the money that's necessary for basically maybe a quadriplegic. So, you know, my argument is now we're going after quadriplegics. This is just not right. And again, a former Republican representative, Representative Howell, was actually in Lansing lobbying against the bill as well. I actually had an opportunity to speak with him briefly, and he said, well, you know, Stacey, my son is a quadriplegic. However, he's protected by this bill. He's grandfathered in. But I know the effects that this would decimate communities or decimate someone's income to have them looking towards bankruptcy just to get coverage after an accident.
Yeah, no question. So, we're just out of time for this morning, but I want to thank you for being with us, Representative Stacey Irwin Oaks, and we'll have you back very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, folks. A quick break here. We will be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got some slow traffic out there. 696 westbound between Cousins and 75. 75 southbound between 12 mile down through 8 mile. You're going to find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly cloudy, a high near 58. 30% chance of rain after 2 p.m. Tonight, the rain moves in for a while, low around 46. Still, the rain sticks around tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, of course, when it's not raining, a high in the mid-50s. Right now, it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Recently on First Shift.
I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester, the boy from Bud.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now, and to let people know that, you know, this standard of living that we haven't always had it. There was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living that the world's ever known. And that the sacrifices, in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
The headline reads, Senator Stabenow responds to Chinese threat over bill to crack down on currency manipulation. Thank you for your leadership on this issue.
It really is enough is enough. We know we have a complicated relationship with China. We know that we borrow for them to pay our debt. But we're also their largest consumer market. They need us too. And we've not exercised our own strengths to push back.
First Shift. With Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, it is a Tuesday morning First Shift program. Thanks for punching in. If you are an employee of either Greektown Casino, Motor City Casino, or MGM Grand, chances are at midnight Wednesday, you may have a very difficult decision to make, or maybe not so difficult. The contract, which has been extended, will expire at midnight on Wednesday. And according to a report on the Fox 2 website, it is not looking very positive for them to avoid a strike situation. And they are committed to striking. Now, who would be striking? Well, it would be everybody, basically, that works at the casino, the dealers, the bartenders, the wait staff, the custodial staff. And this could obviously be a huge problem for the casinos. Now, they all are reporting an increase in the last quarter in profits. And, of course, the major issue that they are negotiating on right now are the cost of health care for their employees. Of course, the casinos want the employees to pay a larger percentage of their health care costs. The employees, of course, do not want to do that. Now, you find yourself in a situation where the casinos are profitable. They do see an increase in their profit over the last quarter, and it of course, begins to make you wonder, from a bargaining position standpoint, where does that put them? It seems to me, and again, reading this article, people said that they would not cross the picket line. I guess I want to throw that question out to you really quick before we get to the bottom of the hour. If the casinos, if you go to the casino, number one, and they were to go on strike, would you honor the picket line and not cross it? Would you not cross a picket line at one of the casinos? 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. If the casino workers were on strike and they're picketing, would you cross the picket line and gamble anyway? Now, I know that, you know, gambling has its own receptors in your brain. And the people that are very committed to their gambling habit, if you will, notice I'm avoiding the addiction word. but, you know, when we take a look at that, you know, would you cross the picket line in order to satisfy your need to gamble? Of course, you could always go across the river to Windsor and satisfy it that way. I certainly would never cross a picket line, not at all, especially over issues like this, but it wouldn't matter to me anyway. That's just me. But it's a little different. It's a little different situation than some. This is one of those situations where I said earlier a boycott wouldn't work. Well, this is one where a boycott certainly would work. If you would, if enough people don't go to the casinos, I assure you it wouldn't take more than a couple days before somebody would cave pretty damn quick. You know what they their profits are not so large that they can afford a prolonged strike in any way. And in fact, I don't know that they could really handle more than a week without it really hurting their bottom line. You know, the casinos do take in millions of dollars on a monthly basis here in Detroit. And so that's become problematic. And again, the central issue here is the cost of health care. At the end of the day, they're going to have to come to the table and come to an agreement. Now, according to this piece on the Fox 2 website, they're not even close to an agreement on especially the health care issue. And so to avoid a strike may be next to impossible. So what would happen? Well, if you're working at midnight, you would then at that point, I guess, walk away from the table and go join the picket line. I'm not 100% sure how that would work. I don't know if you would finish your shift and then you would be on strike. I don't know if the shift ends exactly at midnight. But, you know, certainly the casinos would at that point have to prepare. And trust me, having good, qualified employees at casinos is important. It saves them a great deal of money. The last thing you want are, you know, especially dealers that are not qualified or not properly trained to be running table games. You know, the mistakes that could be made could be catastrophic. And so I think as management goes, as the casinos go, this is a very problematic situation to be in. And if you are in a casino union, you know, it's really time to put the screws to management, because I think that you have the leverage here. I really do. I think that you have the upper hand here. You know, because again, if people, especially if people, after a day or two of people not showing up, I'm monitoring that picket line and not crossing it, I think that they would be very anxious to get back to the table and get this resolved pretty quickly. You know, again, the casino, the profit margin here in Detroit is not so great that they can afford to go a week. I don't think they can even afford to go a week. And it's going to hurt them. Any kind of strike will hurt them. But something that goes a week or more could be absolutely devastating to their bottom lines. Now, they all, of course, are part of a bigger corporation. But that really matters not in this situation. You know, every part of a corporation, that parent company, every leg of that parent company needs to perform financially in order for them to participate in a positive way. So I certainly the casino workers have my complete support, and we're going to try to get somebody on from their local union. I thought it was kind of funny, Jeff. I don't know if you noticed that the local was 7777.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought
four
that was,
sevens or just or three?
Four sevens. Yeah. Four sevens. But I thought that was kind of clever. But we'll try to get somebody on this tomorrow. The deadline, again, is Wednesday at midnight. So I guess technically, I don't know if that's, you know, Wednesday at midnight or Tuesday at 12:01, which would make it Wednesday. I don't know if that's the deal. But if that's the deal, then tonight's the night. If not, then tomorrow night's the night. But we'll get clarification on all of that. And I'm going to ask you right now, folks, if you would please consider, if the casinos do go on strike, to honor those picket lines and do not cross those picket lines. If you want, you can go over to Jeff's apartment, and he'll deal you blackjack.
Right, yeah. Well, it happens every night anyway. I have a roulette table and all kinds of stuff.
Cool. Cool. I didn't know that.
I thought you did. That's why you're advertising.
No, I just figured you could use a couple of, because I know they tip well, so I figured you'd make some extra cash.
Right. That's what I wear the same uniform that you see at the casino, girls that hand out drinks, and I give out, apple juice and milk.
I'm sorry, do you wear the uniforms the girls wear, or do you have girls that wear those uniforms?
I'm still working on getting the girls.
Okay, so you wear the uniforms yourself at this point.
And we should be moving on.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, so I'm just saying, you know.
I know. That was a mistake of mine, and I promise I won't make it again.
That's the problem, and I think by now you would have figured out that I'm actually paying attention to what you say. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. All right, before we take a break here, I have not had a chance to mention our poll question of the day, so let me do that very quickly, and then we're going to head out to Occupy Detroit in just a few minutes. Home sales in Michigan have risen for the third month in a row. Do you believe we are finally climbing out of the real estate fiasco we have been in for years now? We've had quite a few people ring up, and most people are saying at this point it's too early to tell, but go to Facebook. If you, of course, are already a member of First Shift, then you can vote. If not, just search for First Shift and go ahead and vote in the poll. Don't forget to quote-unquote like us when you're there. Let's take a quick break here. Chris Mihalakis on the other side, as he is live from Grand Circus Park in downtown Detroit. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at delays on 696 eastbound between Coolidge and 75, 696 westbound between Cousins and 75 as well, and 75 southbound from 14 mile down to around 8 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain after 2 p.m., a high in the upper 50s. Tonight, rain mainly after 8 p.m., but it'll be here for a while, low around 46. And then Wednesday, rain still, a high in the mid-50s, breezy with gusty northeast winds. Right now it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Four UAW workers wrap up their voting on the tentative labor agreement today. On Monday, voting by Ford workers in support of the tentative UAW contract was 58% approval. UAW President Bob King is touting job creation in the contracts and a 20% raise for some new hires. Most UAW workers at Ford, GM, and Chrysler did not get wage increases, but will receive bonuses and profit sharing instead. For anybody wondering why the Occupy movement is protesting, Occupy DC organizer Kevin Zeis sums it up. In a blog, Zeis says this is why people are protesting. Because the people need to take power from the political and economic elites who have destroyed the economy and have us trapped in war quagmires around the world, Zeis writes. Because we need to end corporate rule that favors gluttonous profits for the wealthiest while the basic necessities of tens of millions are not met. Because we need to immediately end wars of the American empire that have literally killed and displaced millions of innocent people. Zeis concluded by saying, "We occupy to create a more perfect union where participatory democracy replaces the rule of concentrated wealth." Some major retailers are closing stores just as the holiday shopping season gets into gear. Jesse Russell reports.
The second largest home improvement chain in the country is shuttering 20 stores and laying off nearly 2,000 employees. The Lowe's home improvement chain closed 10 of the stores earlier this month, with the remaining stores turning off the lights in November. The company has also dialed down the rate in which it opens new stores. Lowe's will open 10 or 15 new stores in 2012, as opposed to the previous average of 30 stores per year. Gap and Talbot's have also announced plans to close stores. The clothing retailers are suffering from anemic sales as they enter the 2011 holiday shopping season. Combined, they'll shutter more than 300 stores. Gap plans to close 200 out of their 900 shops. The clothing retailer is planning to change the way it does business. Instead of being a Gap brand specialty retailer, the store will now focus on affordability. The company has seen a 22% year-over-year decline in operating income.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the National Education Association and by the United Mine Workers of America. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's just get right to it. As promised, from Occupy Detroit. Go ahead, give me my intro, guys.
Joining Tony in studio,
as he always does at this time,
the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan,
Chris Milakis.
Well, although he is not in studio, he is in a far better place, and I don't mean heaven. I don't mean heaven. No, I think a far better place this morning. Chris, you join us, of course, live from the Occupy Detroit movement, and what a neat place to be on this early Tuesday morning.
Well, it is a protesters' heaven, Tony, so that's close there. But, yeah, I am here live in Grand Circus Park with all the occupiers down here. I spent the night Friday night, and it was an interesting time. Not many times you get to camp out in the middle of a beautiful urban park in Detroit. So it was quite an experience. But I tell you, there's a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm down here. I've been coming down every day for a little bit, you know, helping out when I can. And actually, I would encourage your listeners, if you got a few hours to kill, we need people in the food service tent. We need people in the comfort tent. Our camp here has become kind of a makeshift homeless shelter / soup kitchen / protest rally point. So it's there's a lot of activity going on here in Grand Circus Park, and I would encourage your listeners to come. In fact, we have a couple of your listeners right here waiting to talk about their experiences here too.
And we're going to get to them in just a minute. Let's kind of go back to Friday late afternoon, yeah, early evening, if you will, Chris. Of course, everybody met at the Spirit of Detroit, and the local media was fairly good about covering that event. They said anywhere between 500 and 700 people showed up for that, and then of course there was the walk over to the park where the occupation began. Tell me about Friday night and the energy of that crowd. Now, obviously, not all of the people that marched ended up occupying, but that's fine. And we'll get to that in a minute. What was the energy like on Friday night?
There was a lot of energy Friday night, Tony. There was people from all walks of life here, and 500 to 700, I think, might be a conservative estimate. I mean, we had a line. I remember standing at the CompuWare building, and there was a line, a stream of protesters that went back all the way back to the Spirit. So the number of people here were in the thousands. And when we filled up Grand Circus Park, like you said, some folks stuck around. Some wandered around the city and were, you know, talking to other fellow protesters and mingling. And then Friday night we had our first ever, People's Assembly, meeting, and they went over the whole process. And, it was our first People's Assembly of the beginning of the occupation. It was very cordial. It was very well run. And like I mentioned last week when I attended the planning meeting, the process for how they make decisions here is very interesting. It's focused on consensus building, and really measuring, doing a very efficient job of measuring public opinion. And, every day here there's meetings going on and committee meetings, and there's going to be a whole list of actions being planned throughout the week and hopefully for weeks to come.
All right. Well, I know you've got a couple people that are interested in getting on air, so why don't we talk to one of them, and then we'll come back to you, Chris.
Okay. I'm going to pass the phone first to Molly. And
Hello?
Good morning, Molly. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, Molly. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to our audience this morning. Molly, if you would tell me, I don't need to get into deep personal details, but tell me your story. Why is the Occupy Detroit movement something that you wanted to get involved in?
Well, I graduated from college in 2009, and most of my friends have been unemployed, underemployed since then. On top of it, I have my brother-in-law is a union electrician in Cleveland, and he's been unemployed for 3.5 years, and he has a 2-year-old daughter. And on top of that, I work with homeless and unemployed union on the east side of Detroit. So many of them have been foreclosed upon, still can't find work. I think since my graduation from college, I've, you know, had a general frustration, and it's been the first time that I really feel like there's the energy to kind of push our country in the right direction. It seems like it's a moment, and you know, especially Friday night when I was out here looking around, I saw folks I work with who are homeless. I saw adults I know from the suburbs. I saw young people from Wayne State and then local Detroiters as well. And it felt like, you know, and first time in my lifetime that this could be something that really makes a difference.
Well, I think that's what I love about this movement as well. You know, Molly, I was up in Lansing on Saturday for the General Assembly. There, we had a rally there in our first General Assembly meeting up in Lansing. And what I was really encouraged by was the diversity of the crowd. There were people from all walks of life, people with all different skin colors, everybody expressing themselves and exercising their First Amendment rights. And you know, I stop and think, and of course I have not been down to the Detroit occupation yet. I will get down there this week. But I would think it very much would look like that down there as well. Am I right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I hopefully more so on Wednesday at the next General Assembly.
Well, let's talk about that. If you've got that information, what time and is, I obviously it's going to be right there at Grand Circus Park, but what time is the next General Assembly?
The next General Assembly is Wednesday at 6 on the east part of Grand Circus Park.
Okay. Well, you know, just show up there, folks. It'll be pretty easy to find out where that it's at. Molly, where do you normally live? I know you don't normally live in Grand Circus Park.
I actually live right down the street in downtown Detroit.
Okay, and you know,
Washington Boulevard.
I have had some people reach out to me. You know, we do a little thing at the beginning of the show that we call First Word. I told people today the first word was hope, because a lot of people are anxious that there aren't a lot of people out there for the occupation. Now, I've been telling people that this is a movement that will grow and it will build, and it, you know, and so we need to give it time. Are you disappointed that there aren't more people there?
Not at all. Not at all. I feel like the, you know, people camping out in the park are just a portion of the people who are engaged in the movement. And there are many more who are going to show up on Wednesday and keep showing up until something gets done.
Yeah, that's the point. And I want to really make that point, Molly. I mean, and, you know, it's no different than, you know, my having you on the show right now. And that supports the occupation. Chris, mm-hmm. You know, Chris coming down this morning to make sure that we get the word out, that supports the occupation. You know, being supporting the occupation does not necessarily mean sleeping there. There are lots of other things that we can do to support the occupation, the Detroit occupation, right?
Definitely, definitely. A million different things. I mean, I haven't slept here yet, and, you know, I've been showing up at committee meetings, doing research for action, engaging my local community groups that I work with in the city, engaging other organizers. So they're definitely many ways to support the occupation,
well,
rather than just sleeping in the park.
I want to thank you for standing up, doing the right thing, getting involved, getting engaged. You know, there's that, and it's driving me nuts, but I'm going to go there. This the idea that we, because I consider myself part of this occupation, that we don't have a message. We, of course, do, Molly, have a message. And, you know, the one thing the one thing I love about this movement is we I think that there's a core message. But as somebody said on Saturday, we also all have our own personal message. How many movements, mm-hmm. How many movements allow for your own personal agenda to be put forward? I think that's what's wonderful about this movement.
No, I agree. I definitely agree.
All right, well, let me talk to Chris. Molly, again, I appreciate I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Molly is down at the Occupy Detroit event. And, Chris, welcome back.
Hi, Tony. Good to be back here.
Thank you. We'll get to the next person you have after we get to the break here in just a couple minutes. But, you know, I think Molly was a great example, Chris, of part of what, you know, can be done. I think that, you know, people have been a little freaked out. And I'll be honest with you, there's some anxiety over the fact that there aren't a ton of people sleeping there. And this, but this is not just about sleeping there. There's, of course, much more that can be done that like Molly, like you, that does not involve somebody necessarily lying their head on a pillow at night there.
Right. You know, there are a few hundred people sleeping here and camped out here, but really this has just become almost like a a hub of progressive activity on a wide range of issues. You know, people, just like in New York, most of the people that are down there aren't camping out. They're people coming through, getting some information, holding meetings, planning actions. It just becomes the camp, the occupation camp becomes a focal point for a lot of activity and actions that are going to take place around this city and around other cities across the country. And what's interesting about this camp, too, Tony, is the police have been really good with us here. Last night I was bringing some supplies, and a cop thanked us for being here. And, you know, because they know they're part of the 99% too. And their pensions were robbed by Wall Street.
That's the amazing part. You're right. I mean, you know, again, we don't think about that how critical that 99% and how inclusive that 99% number is. And I was, you know, I posted something to our Facebook page on Sunday. Nolan Finley, who's a very conservative columnist for the Detroit News, Chris, he's part of the 99%, but he's become an apologist for the 1%. It's ridiculous. We got to take a quick break here. Chris Mialakis again, our normal Tuesday guest. Normally he's with us at 8, but not today. Today he's with us at 7:30. We'll take a quick break. He's got another protester that will join us on the other side. Chris, of course, with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. A lot of union support, by the way, for the Occupy event. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMV mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMV to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
It doesn't get any better at Subway restaurants this month, because October is now Anytober. Because every day this October, any regular footlong is a $5 footlong like the Tastetastic Turkey Breast. It all starts at 7 a.m. all October. Hurry in to get your Any on. Subway, eat fresh.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. Tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Trianon
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you.
Give them a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live, well, Chris Mialakis is anyway, live at the Occupy Detroit event. We, of course, have been talking about it at great lengths. Chris Mialakis, welcome back to the show. Before we get to the other protester you have, I know that yesterday we had mentioned on air a couple times that they were in dire need of medical personnel to keep the medical tent going. Have they had people step up? I know they sent me a nice note thanking me for mentioning it on the air. Have they had some people step up?
I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to go to the medical tent today, but I know the Nurses Union, our Michigan Nurse Association, put out a call asking their members to come make their way down here if they can. Unfortunately, you know, they've had a few nurses and doctors working on 24-hour shifts just about. So hopefully some have. I don't know one way or the other. I haven't had a chance to go over there yet. But
if you could before, not even before, but just before we're off the air at 9 o'clock, and then call us back and let us know if they need us to put out another shout out to the audience.
Sure. And I know another thing they need too is just volunteers. I talked to some folks that were working the kitchen, and they are just overworked. They've been working nonstop since Friday, and also in the comfort tent. People in the comfort tent are passing out extra clothes and sleeping bags and gloves and things like that, and helping people get warm, helping people find room. So if any of your listeners have time, just come on down to Grand Circus Park, look for the food tent, look for the comfort tent, and ask if you can help out. And also, people are bringing so much food for the occupiers here. They're having a hard time storing it all, and they don't want to attract rats. So we need large, very large-scale, plastic storage bins for the food that people are bringing in.
Okay, well, that would be critical. And not only do they not want rats, they don't want to waste any of that food as well.
Right.
And, of course, you know, perishable is perishable after all, and you want to respect the guidelines. Anyway, we certainly want to make sure we get it all in. You had somebody else there that was looking to chat with us this morning?
Yep, I have another guest here, Tony, and he's actually a regular caller on the show, so I'm going to pass the phone over to him.
All righty.
Hello, Tony.
Yes.
Charles,
how are you?
All right. I've been calling for a march on Wall Street for about 8 years, so this is my dream come true.
That's wonderful. Charles, tell me what's the I realize it's early morning and it might be quiet there, but what's the general energy like there? I mean, are people exciting? Are they engaged? Are they ready to commit to doing this until we make a difference?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've been here. I'm here now, but I've been here several times. I've interacted, and it is like a college campus to some extent, but it's like in the 60s where, you know, people were just talking serious politics and serious economics, at the Diag in Michigan or something like that. And, but these kids are more mature. They've learned from the past, and they've taken what was best from the activism of an earlier period and, discarded a lot of mistakes. And they're very mature. And it's not, you know, the 99%, you know, somebody called in on your show a while ago said there's more of us than them. Well, you know, they got it. 99-1.
Yeah.
And them. Debtors, creditors.
Yeah, and there's no question, Charles. There's absolutely no question that's true. And I think it's wonderful that you're down there supporting them this morning, and I know that just because of your interaction on the show and with the show that you're very engaged. You're one of those people that stands up, and of course we do know that there are certain things they need. They need bodies. They need people to come down and volunteer to help feed the people, and they need people to help with the medical tent, and they need people just to be down there to make sure that this goes well. And so we want to encourage
bring your grievances against Wall Street.
Most
of us are debtors, as they, You know, and I mean, the city of Detroit had insurance on bonds with AIG, and AIG failed in the crash, got bailed out with all that money, but then Detroit with the is now paying more to the people, with the Wall Street people with the bonds because of that insurance failure. You know, give us, if we get that money out of the bailout money, we could have these buses here in the city of Detroit, you know, that people are hungering for. You know, there's this a real problem with bus service right now. With that money from Wall Street, that they, if we could get that bailout money for the for Detroit the way Wall Street got bailed out, you know, we'd have to give up public services that are vital. People got to get the jobs on those buses.
Charles, I couldn't agree more. And as we learned this morning, that Citibank had a 74% increase in their profit over a year ago, to the tune of $3.8 billion. Something has to change, Charles. Something has to change.
Well, we've started that change, I think. They started in Wall Street, occupying Wall Street, and occupy Wall Street in Detroit. We're going to make them change.
Absolutely. Charles, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us. If you would, give me back to Chris, and we got to wrap things up for this hour. Thank you so much, Charles. I appreciate it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Just amazing. That's great. Yeah, Chris, absolutely.
I just wanted to
go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to add one thing too. You know, when Detroit got bailed out, because you know we were the recipient of bailouts as well. But and when Detroit got bailed out, people started building cars. People went back to work. I mean, you know, the bailout here made sense and it worked. When Wall Street got bailed out, what happened? Nothing. Now they're hoarding all the money and not putting people back to work. And I think that's why these protests here in Detroit are very interesting. You know, we have such a high concentration of poverty in Detroit, but, you know, so many good, hardworking people here are expressing their displeasure because Wall Street has left us behind for years. And people are very frustrated.
Well, there's no question that's true. I was just telling Charles, Chris, and I think it bears repeating, that Citibank announced this morning that they had a 74% increase in profits over a year ago to the tune of $3.8 billion. You know, the biggest difference between the Detroit the monies and the Wall Street monies is the Wall Street monies weren't alone. The Detroit monies were a loan. That money's being paid back. And so we need to be mindful that Wall Street got a handout and we're getting pushed out. And you cannot forget that. Chris, we're just at the top of the hour. Thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate all your time and your commitment to this. And very quickly before we go, is organized labor supporting the Occupy Detroit movement?
Absolutely. The Metro Detroit AFL-CIO passed a resolution in support of the occupation last week, Tuesday.
All right. And that's one of the questions people had. Thank you for answering that. Chris, we'll talk soon, my brother.
All right. Appreciate it, Tony.
Thank you so much. Chris Mihalakis again. Thanks, with brother. United Food and Commercial Workers Union. A very quick break when we continue. Tim Hughes with a special assignment with the UAW in place of Cindy Estrada, who is in negotiations with the state of Michigan as we speak. This is First Shift. We are just at the Occupy Detroit movement. We'll take the break and be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We are accident-free so far this morning. Let's hope it stays that way. Still looking at delays. 696 westbound from Cousins, basically all the way through Southfield Road, just slow in a couple of different spots. Nothing major, nothing that's going to sit you behind an awful lot this morning. 75 southbound between 14 Mile down through 8 Mile, you'll find delays there too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a 30% chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy otherwise. A high around 58 degrees. Tonight the rain moves in, a low around 46. The winds start to pick up out of the northeast. Chance of rain is 100%. Tomorrow, again, it will rain. A high near 55. Those winds continue to pick up out of the northeast. Right now, it's fair and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from
CNN Radio. I'm Bill Caiaccio.
Leading the news this hour, the eyes of the political world are on Sin City. CNN's Bob Costantini reports live. The Republicans running for president will debate in Las Vegas tonight. Bob.
Well, Bill, seven top Republican contenders will be here in Las Vegas. Many of the questions will be about issues of concern to Western Republicans who will participate. Meanwhile, libertarian-leaning Ron Paul unveiled a plan for saving $1 trillion in debt that includes letting young people simply opt out of Social Security to decide what, if anything, they want to do to prepare for retirement.
On the campuses, I can't remember anybody coming up and saying, hey, I don't want you to do that, save me, I want to pay Social Security.
Paul's plan also calls for eliminating five cabinet departments, all within the first year of his presidency. Bill?
President Obama is trying to get Americans behind his jobs bill, and he says he needs their help.
I need you to give Congress a piece of your mind.
The president is taking a bus tour through North Carolina and Virginia. Bank of America reports a $6.2 billion third quarter profit. Chief Executive Brian Moynihan says the bank's done several things to become leaner. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners are being released in exchange for Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. Some Palestinians chanted as prisoners were taken away. Shalit has been reunited with his family after being held captive by Hamas for 5 years. He was asked by Egyptian television if anything can be accomplished by this prisoner swap.
I hope that this deal would help to achieve peace between the Palestinian and Israeli sides.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the first U.S. cabinet-level official to visit Libya since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi. She's meeting with members of the National Transitional Council in Tripoli. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Goldman Sachs says it is disappointed. That's understandable. The big Wall Street firm is reporting it swung to a loss in the third quarter from the same quarter last year. Revenue fell from $9 billion a year ago to $3.5 billion, results worse than expectations. This is only the second quarterly loss in company history. Goldman blames sagging investor confidence. Earlier this hour, Bank of America posted earnings far above expectations for the third quarter. Stock futures remain flat to lower following these reports as investors all over the world react to where China's economy grew less than forecast in the third quarter, only 9.1%. S&P futures down 6, NASDAQ futures down 2. One part of our scary economy does not appear to be adversely impacted right now, haunted houses. USA Today reports people are spending big bucks again this year to be frightened on purpose from walk-through or ride-through experiences. The editor of Haunt World magazine tells the paper people love to be scared. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Only. See store for details.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you for punching in. This is hour 3 of First Shift. For those of you that are just joining us, you need to get up earlier. You're missing a lot of good stuff, including our visit in the last half hour with a couple, Molly and Charles, and Chris Mihalakis, of course, down at Occupy Detroit, and got a great and thorough recap of what's going on there. That was amazing. You missed a Representative Stacey Irwin Oakes from the Saginaw area, who talked to us about the budget surplus and why the Republicans are looking to give Wall Street more money in a time where we need to be creating jobs. A lot of other stuff. So, folks, get up a little earlier. It's worth it. Have your coffee with us, just kind of get into things, and it's perfect. Normally, at this time, we have Cindy Estrada, who's a vice president with the UAW. Cindy, as I'm sure you're all aware, is extremely involved in negotiations with the state of Michigan and what is a critical contract for thousands of statewide workers. She, of course, combined with the SEIU and AFSCME and other unions, are using a coordinated approach, a group approach, a solidarity approach to negotiation, to negotiating with the state of Michigan. So she has asked if I would mind putting on somebody that is not Cindy, because she is so busy. And, of course, like she gave us, Joe Ashton a couple months ago, she gives us another superstar to replace her today, but we'll have her back with us next month. Joining us now is Tim Hughes. Tim is the former legislative director for Governor Jennifer Granholm. He has many years of service with the Michigan State AFL-CIO and is certainly one of the people that is front and center on policy issues that affect our daily lives. He joins us today to talk about some of the legislative efforts in the that are happening right now in the state of Michigan that could negatively affect us. Now, these are not going to be issues that you're not unfamiliar with, but certainly a conversation that desperately we need to have. In fact, I'm going to suggest that after we get this podcast, you might want to share this with people. So we're going to give you some amazing foundational information today. Tim is now a special consultant to the UAW and Ms. Estrada, and he joins us this morning. Tim, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
And it is truly my pleasure. When we talk about the legislative issues, and labor issues that are affecting everybody, we need to make the point, Tim, that even if you're not a member of organized labor, what affects organized labor really does affect everybody in the workplace, does it not?
Sure. The three issues that are in front of the legislature now, dealing with unemployment benefits, worker compensation, and, of course, right to work, affects everybody, whether you're in a union or not.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. And as we're going to, over the course of the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to break down those three areas. And I think it's important for people to really pay attention, Tim, to what this legislation would do, because, again, it does impact each and every individual, whether you're a member of organized labor or not. And let's start with unemployment benefits. You know, we know the legislature has, and it seems like they are laser focused on rewriting the workplace issues, period. Why would unemployment benefits, especially in the economy we have, be something that they would want to target, Tim?
Well, I think the biggest problem from the business community's viewpoint on unemployment benefits is that we have a pretty sizable debt to the federal government. The way the system works is when our trust fund, which pays benefits, runs out of money, it triggers automatic borrowing. And this has happened a number of times in Michigan with our the type of economy we have going up and down because the auto industry goes up and down. Most recently, downturn has left the trust fund with a pretty large debt. And at this point, there are various taxes that get triggered that the business community has to pay. So they, you know, don't like those taxes. And although there's a recent report by a group called NELP that pointed out you can't cut your way to solvency. You can't cut benefits so much that you'll make the system solvent. You have to deal with the fact that the system's underfunded. And so, but nonetheless, there are people that are trying to restore solvency through benefit cuts, and that's what's in front of the legislature now.
All right. Well, we know that earlier this year, the legislature cut unemployment benefits by 23%, reducing the maximum, I believe, Tim, it was from 26 weeks to 20 weeks. Again, that doesn't really solve a problem, does it?
No. It was a really last-minute addition to a bill that had a kind of noble cause. It was trying to make a small technical tweak to the state law that would enable the state to continue to qualify unemployed workers in the state to qualify for extended unemployment benefits. And so there was seemed to be bipartisan agreement that we should do that. At the last minute, the Senate amended the bill to knock the state number of maximum weeks of benefits from 26 to 20, and the House went along. It all happened within a couple of hours. I think a lot of people didn't even know what they were voting on. But it was unprecedented. I think there's maybe one or two states in the country that have such a draconian reduction.
All right. Now, I also know that there are a couple pieces of legislation titled House Bill 4781 and 4782. What would, Tim Hughes, those bills do?
Well, they do a number of things, but their cumulative effect would be to reduce the average weekly benefit by about 25%. It also changes qualification standards for a lot of people in different types of work. It would make it almost impossible for them to qualify at all. But it's a complicated formula, and there's that one point of percentage that determines what your benefit amount is, and they would reduce that percentage.
Well, you know, and again, and maybe in a different economy, this kind of reminds me of what they've done with welfare benefits. I understand that that's a system that needs reform. I also understand that there are people that have abused that system. But at a time when the economy is just not getting better, and unfortunately in the state of Michigan, Tim, as we've seen over the last 2 months, unemployment continues to rise here in the state of Michigan. Is this really the right time to be cutting benefits when, you know, I would think at some level this isn't coming close to covering what people were once making in their workplace anyway?
No, I mean, the basic benefit, the average benefit, barely covers basic needs. It only provides 68% of the poverty level for a family of four. And so further cuts will make that number drop even further. And there was a recent study by the Kids Count Data Book Group that usually reviews the economic picture of children in the states. And in Michigan, it showed that more than one-third of Michigan's children live in households where neither parent has a full-time job. So this benefit not only hurts the unemployed worker, it hurts their children as well.
Well, there seems to be an ongoing effort by the Republican legislature to attack policies that really do affect children. I'll go back to the welfare restrictions again. We know that the net effect of that really far more impacts children than it does adults, and again, placing them in harm's way. And Tim, I think that by extension, we take a look at what happens on the educational front when we're sending kids to school hungry, or sending them to school without proper clothing. This continues to create problems. That can't immediately be measured, but we know that the net effect of them cannot be good.
No, and it's been getting bad for some time now. Back in 95, the law was amended to do away with indexing. There used to be a cost of living increase built into the system for the maximum benefit. That's been gone, and the current maximum was increased in 2002, but it's been frozen since then. So maximum benefits, if they were had been continued to be adjusted, would be up to $477 a week instead of the $362 that they are.
How do we respond, Tim Hughes, to this? I mean, you know, I hear it loud and clear. Listen, Tony, and people say to me, we can't continue to spend money we don't have, and unlike the federal level, Tim, we have to balance our budget by law. I mean, we have to have a balanced budget. So I understand that. At the same time, we see the kind of pressure and demands that have been put on either homes that parents aren't or adults aren't employed or are horribly underemployed. You know, how do we address that and still look at the fiscal picture, Tim?
Well, one of the ways is when they're looking at fixing the solvency of the trust fund that pays the benefits is to not just look at the employee side, which, as I pointed out, has been cut repeatedly over the years. The basic problem with the trust fund is that it's underfunded. Employers pay on a taxable wage base. They pay benefits on the first 9,000, I think it is, of wages that they pay to employees. That's lower than a lot of other states have. And when we last made major revisions in the system back in 95, they put in a kind of a trigger to guarantee that the trust fund would go broke and set up a formula that automatically reduced business taxes by 10% whenever the trust fund got near $2 billion. I think there was some paranoia that if the trust fund got up to that level, that we'd raise benefits. That clearly has not been what the legislature's done. What they did do is take the trust fund, which is supposed to function as kind of a rainy day fund. You build it up in good times so that the money's there to sustain benefits in bad economic times so that you don't have to borrow from the federal government. So basically they spent the rainy day fund when it wasn't raining with about $700 million of business tax cuts.
Well, once again, it's clear what their agenda is. Tim Hughes, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get into workmen's compensation and right-to-work legislation, which I can assure you folks will be introduced before the end of this calendar year. Tim Hughes, again, my guest, in for Cindy Estrada this month. I'm Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some accidents have popped up over the last 20 minutes or so. 275 northbound at Ford Road. We have an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up about a mile and a half behind that. Also, 94 eastbound at Hagerty, an accident there. On the south before we northbound at the Lodge Split, you can find an accident there on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 50s, a chance of rain in the afternoon. Tonight, the rain moves in for a while. Breezy winds into the northwest, low around 46. Rain all day tomorrow, high in the mid-50s. Breezy winds in the northeast as well. Right now, it's fair and 42 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Recently on First Shift.
I'm just so pleased to have on the show this morning Harry Lester, the boy from Bud.
Well, Tony, what I attempted to do, and I hope I did, was to try to actually depict the difference between now and then, or then and now. You know, when you look back at the 30s compared to what we're going through right now, and to let people know that, you know, this standard of living that we haven't always had it. There was a lot of sacrifices made from an awful lot of people to make sure that we had the greatest standard of living that the world's ever known, and that the sacrifices in many cases, people went to jail, people went to the graveyard, people went to the hospital, and people went on to be leaders and great leaders in their unions and built this great standard of living that we enjoy.
Well, and there's no question, and that certainly is depicted in The Boy from Bud. Of course, that is referring to your hometown, which is Bud, West Virginia.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work. With First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Tim Hughes again my guest. He's in for Cindy Estrada this month. Cindy will be with us in November. Again, she is negotiating, along with a variety of other unions, a contract with statewide workers, and that work is not yet done. Tim is here to talk to us today about labor issues that affect all of us, that the legislature seems to have targeted most of it, folks. In fact, I can't think of a piece of legislation that they've put forward with regard to labor issues that hasn't had a net negative or would not have a net negative effect. Tim, let's talk about workers' compensation here in the state of Michigan. What are they looking to do in regard to workman's comp?
Well, just about everything. Worker comp has been around for over 100 years in Michigan. It was the result of a historic trade-off where workers gave up the right to sue for work-related injuries in exchange for the relative security of worker comp benefits. Now, businesses then gained immunity from potentially costly court awards in exchange for the relative predictability of worker comp insurance costs. It's worked well for businesses recently. The Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs recently announced that the pure premium advisory rates for worker comps, which is an indicator of what comp insurance will cost on average, will be reduced by 7.4% next year. And this is the 12th time in the last 16 years that those rates have been reduced. So worker comp costs have been going down. There's a group called the Worker Comp Research Institute that said that our state system is a competitive asset compared with other states, and that our total cost per claim are 35% lower than the median of the states that they surveyed. Yep, you've got a business community who looks around and thinks, hey, the coast is clear, let's go for it. They've introduced House Bill 5002, which reads like a checklist of every court case that they've lost, or even the ones that they've won, and they reverse the ones that they've lost, codify the ones that they've won, and in fact, in many cases, make them worse. If 5002 were enacted as it was introduced, worker compensation would almost become voluntary, that an employer could pay it if you wanted to keep the worker, but if you wanted to dump them like a broken part from a car and just replace them with somebody else, with the unemployment level we have, They figure they can do that, and this law would make it easier for to do.
You know, that just seems counterintuitive to what we, I mean, at some level, we've got to protect the worker in the workplace. I mean, Tim, in order to do that, aren't they asking themselves for legal problems by changing the worker comp in this way?
Yeah, in fact, Ed Welch, who's a worker comp expert, he's sort of a national symposium out of Michigan State, he told the committee when he testified that every time you change the law like this, you know, it's full employment for worker comp lawyers on both sides for a couple of years until they thrash out what it means. In this case, we're taking a law where the definition of disability, that's the threshold for qualifying for benefits, was passed in 1987. And we have the Michigan Supreme Court in particular still passing or making decisions that reinterpret this law. And it's ironic because you see the Republicans are always saying they don't like activist judges. These guys are the most activist bunch around. They've rewritten this law so you wouldn't recognize it. Now, ironically, they say, we're doing this to reinstate the original intent of the law. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, that's baloney, because in 1987, I was the legislative director of the AFL-CIO. I was one of a handful of people in the room that wrote the new definition. And it was a minor change. It didn't really do that much. The guy whose language we cribbed, Professor Theodore St. Antoine, who's a recognized expert on worker comp, said that it was of small practical consequence. But they've distorted it now to the point that what the recent court decisions have said and what this bill would extend it a little farther would say is if you get laid off, if you get, excuse me, injured right now, if you find another job, your benefits get reduced by 80% of the wages that you earn at the new job, you know, assuming it earns you less money. This would say that the employers could reduce your benefits by the amount of the job that they think you could get at wages you might be able to earn. It's insane.
That is insane. That makes no sense, Tim.
No, it doesn't. In fact, they do the same thing with pensions. There's a part of the state law that says if you are injured and then you retire and you draw a pension, your benefits get reduced by the pension that you're drawing. This bill says you could reduce it by the pension that you qualify for. So
wow.
Take somebody who's working on the line, went into work in a plant out of high school. With 30 and out, they could be eligible to retire in their late 40s, early 50s. But they're not ready to retire. They don't want to retire. They can't afford to retire. Under this thing, they'd put a kind of economic gun in their ribs and say, you have to retire. That just stands the whole system on its head. Worker comp is supposed to help you get healthy and get back to work. In this instance, it's pushing you into retirement, and that's insane.
That is insane. Very quickly, we don't have a lot of time left. I do want to address right to work. We do know, and I think it's House Bill 5025, would establish a right to work for public school employees. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a bigger bill out there that is planned to be introduced by the end of the year that would be right to work statewide. Now, the governor says that, actually, he's changed his mind a little bit, said, well, let's just let the legislative process play itself out, although he says he's not in favor of it. There's a big difference between being not in favor of it and letting the legislative process play out, Tim Hughes. Right to work is just bad news, period.
Yeah, it's a misnomer. People hear that phrase and think it means that it's, you have a right to a job, that it helps you get work. And that's not it at all. It basically says that all employees who benefit from the terms of a union contract are required to pay their fair share of the cost of administering it. And that's not anything radical. Michigan's functioned very well under the current set of laws. There was a recent study by economist Gordon Lafer that indicated that right to work doesn't help workers, but right to work states workers make an average of $1,500 less per year. They decrease the likelihood that employees get either health insurance or pensions, and that it doesn't spur job growth, and that it's not a significant factor in employers' relocation decisions. So it's not an economic agenda. It's a political agenda. There are people that don't like unions. They don't want them involved in the legislative arena fighting for workers' wages and benefits, and they're trying to take them out, plain and simple.
Well, you know, and it seems to me as we take a look at this, everything we've talked about here is anti-worker, very much anti-union. And the right to work rules, you know, and I'll remind people, and because we've covered this on the show, Tim Hughes, that in every state where there are right to work laws, they're not experiencing all of a sudden this rebirth and new jobs and And in fact, we're finding that, you know, there it's a race to the bottom, that it's escalated the race to the bottom, that a lot of people in right-to-work states have to have two, sometimes three jobs to make up for the income, because we just don't, you know, it doesn't protect the kind of jobs that provide a real living for people.
Yeah, the most recent state to try right-to-work, Oklahoma, found that in the decade after they enacted it, that their unemployment rate rose, the number of jobs they had went down. And, you know, bigger factors then were various trade agreements that sent their jobs south of the border.
Yeah, this is just crazy. Tim, we're just out of time. And, Tim Hughes, I want to thank you for being with us. I want to thank Cindy for putting you in front of us. We do appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have a chance to visit again sometime soon. But thank you for your time this morning.
Sure. Glad to be there.
Absolutely. Tim Hughes, once again. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be open line to the top of the hour. So feel free to give us a call now. 888-552-3595. What's on your mind? We'll find out when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Crew still working on a couple of accidents out there. 906 to Jeffries eastbound at Warren. The left lane is blocked. The southfield probably northbound at the Lodge. An accident there on the shoulders. Got traffic backed up to around 8 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy otherwise. A high around 58. Tonight, the rain moves in for good. Well, not for good, but for a while anyway. A low around 46. Tomorrow, rain, a high near 55. Breezy with gusts into the mid to upper 20s. And then Wednesday, still some rain around and still those gusty winds. Right now, it's fair and 42 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Exclusively at the Home Depot, save time and money with Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint. It's an affordable paint and primer in one, and rated number one by a leading consumer study. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
If your child's clothing catches fire, it's important to act quickly. If you have access to a fire blanket, cover them and drop them to the ground. Instruct them to cover their face with their hands. Roll them back and forth until the fire is extinguished. If your child is...
You know how to help your child if their clothes catch fire. But do you know how to help them if they have a drug problem? Visit drugfree.org for information, help, and advice. This message brought to you by the partnership at drugfree.org.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
And just like that, she was gone. Sarah Palin, the phantasmagoric shooting star of far right-wing wackiness, has formally bowed out of the 2012 presidential race. Apparently, her decision was God-sent. We can assume this because in her 2008 vice presidential run, Palin explained her decision-making process to us on a Fox TV show. I'm like, okay, God, if there is an open door for me somewhere, this is what I always pray. I'm like, don't let me miss the open door. Show me where the open door is, even if it's just cracked up a little bit. Maybe I'll plow right on through that. Maybe prematurely plow through it, but don't let me miss an open door. Eons from now, archaeologists will unearth this truly awesome and breathless sentence and say, huh? But for us political observers today, that burst of Palinese simply translates to this: God showed Sarah the door. In breaking the news of her departure from the political stage, the Fox-made millionaire trotted out her family again, declaring that she decided not to run out of respect for them. Uh-huh. And out of respect for polls showing that only 21% of Americans have a favorable opinion of her. Also, get this. 3/4 of the Republican primary voters said they did not want her in the race. But let's give her credit. Yes, she's shown herself to be an incoherent, frighteningly unqualified, and far-out political figure. But without her, the door would not have opened for Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, and other incoherent, frighteningly unqualified, and far-out Republican contenders. This is Jim Hightower saying, Palin would probably give credit to God for opening the door for Bachmann, Perry, and company, but I don't think God hates America that much. So take a bow, Sarah. You earned this one.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown.
You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thanks for punching in this morning. About an hour ago, actually exactly an hour ago, Chris Mihalakis, who is normally with us in the 8 o'clock hour, was with us at 7:35 and brought to the show a couple people that are participating in the Occupy Detroit movement. I got a few email yesterday and some phone calls from folks that are very concerned that not enough people are occupying Detroit. Well, first of all, those of you that are writing me and calling me, you have the option of course, going and doing that yourself. Now, I understand that not everybody can go do the literal occupying. I get that 100%. So I'm not here to criticize folks that are not going down there and pitching a tent and moving their family down there, okay? I'm certainly not going to criticize people for doing that. There are a plethora of great reasons why you can't do that. So I get that. That's fine. But I will ask that you do step up and volunteer a couple hours a week if you can do that. Now, they need help in the comfort station. They need help in the mess tent where they're serving the food. They need help with the storage of food. They need medical help. So if you could, you know, take some time and go down to Grand Circus Park and volunteer just a couple hours, even if it's a couple hours a week. Hell, even an hour is better than nothing. But they do need help. So that's one of the ways that you can be engaged. Now, again, people are ultimately very concerned about, you know, are there going to be enough occupiers? Well, folks, you know, that'll take care of itself. We do know that that organized labor in Southeast Michigan and Metro Detroit is very supportive of the Occupy movement. Chris told us the very end of the segment that the Metro AFL-CIO passed a joint resolution at their last meeting last Tuesday supporting the Occupy movement. So that's ultimately good news. And how each individual union decides to participate, of course, is up to them. But I think that there are plenty of good reasons to feel optimistic about what's happening downtown. So, you know, now it's time for you to give a little bit of your own time. Is that only fair? I think so. However you want to manifest that. And maybe it's dropping off blankets or a sleeping bag or food. It's going to be different things for different people. But there's certainly plenty of reason to believe that you can get involved. It does not have to be just sleeping down there. Again, we were told by one protester, Bali, that tomorrow, which is Wednesday at 6 p.m., is their next General Assembly meeting. And so if you can be down there for that, remember, they are building this movement by consensus. So you have a voice in it. Everybody that's there has a voice in it. If you don't show up, you don't have a voice. Kind of like democracy. Ha, ha, ha. How do you like that one? All right, let me get to a couple other stories. Let me remind you again that we're open lines at the top of the hour. Feel free to join us at any time, 888-552-3595. A couple stories that came across my desk yesterday that I wanted to share with you. Yesterday in Lansing, an Ingham County judge ordered a halt to the state's plans to privatize nursing aid jobs at a Grand Rapids home for veterans. Actually, Cindy Estrada mentioned this the last time she was on the show. The Ingham County judge said that she feared the change would cause, quote, irreparable harm, unquote, to more than 600 vets who live there. The privatization all comes down to money, really, said a circuit court judge Paula Manderfield. Nothing state officials said they need to save $18,000 a day by turning 170 resident care aid positions over to a contractor who pays workers about half as much money. All right? And again, according to the judge, and I quote her, the home can make cuts in other areas, or perhaps they can get some money, more money from the state. Assistant Attorney General Joseph Froelich, representing the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, said that who runs the home, said he will appeal. Manderfield denied his request for a stay of her order pending the appeal. Good for her. The lead plaintiff in this case was Tony Spallone, a Vietnam veteran and a resident of the home who was bused to Lansing with other residents to testify in favor of the injunction. They said workers hired by the contractor, J2S Group of Grand Rapids, don't get enough training and don't stay on the job long because they make just about $10 an hour. The company already supplies some of the nursing aides, and the state wanted to give all the work to this one organization effective October 1. Governor Rick Snyder, who forecasted the $4.2 million in savings from the move, is disappointed and anticipates an emergency appeal, his spokesperson said. Quoting the governor's office, we continue to be focused on providing the highest quality of care and respect to our veterans while implementing reforms to get the state back on a sustainable, financial, viable track. You can't have one and the other. I'm just telling you, folks, it's just wrong to think that you can take a job that at $20 an hour is underpaid, pay somebody $10 an hour, and expect the same level of service. We're talking about people that need constant care here. Come on. Thank you, Judge. I appreciate very much what you've done. Judge Paula Manderfield, thank you for your clarity and conviction of purpose. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones. We'll welcome Theo in Detroit. Theo, thanks for calling First Shift this morning. Appreciate you punching in. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Tony. This is my first time calling you, but I've been listening. And first I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else in the media.
Well, I appreciate that very much. The goal Jeff and I have every day is to try to find information that you won't probably get anywhere else. So I'm glad that's found to welcome ears. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, surely. I wanted to share with you, you were talking about the jobs that are being hidden, not offered, et cetera. Well, here in the city of Detroit, it seems to be just as punitive measures that are going on. Our city council is meeting today because of the bus situation that we have, and we have so many buses that have not been repaired. And a resolution is going to be presented to tell the mayor to have the 200 buses repaired forthwith, and if not, to hire an outside company. Now, that goes against union labor.
Absolutely.
And we have been told through reports that the mayor has laid off so many of the bus mechanics. And bringing in an outside company, privatizing repair, is doing a disservice to those unemployed bus mechanics from the city of Detroit. And as a matter of fact, Tony, because of moves like this, we are encouraging people to vote no on the Detroit City Charter, because there are further measures within that charter that undermine not only the citizens in the city of Detroit, but the employees of the city of Detroit.
Well, Theo, it's obvious to me you're paying attention to what's going on. So let's take what you've said step by step. Number one, it is not only disrespectful to those that have been laid off, but it's an absolute abomination that this mayor would suggest, would even begin to suggest, that they outsource that mechanics work, when we know if they would have just paid those folks what they're due and continued to provide unemployment to those that they laid off, that we wouldn't be in this situation to begin with. So you can't blame the worker for bad decisions made by management, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Now, what they need to do is they need to recall those laid off mechanics, and they need to put them back to work. Whether they'll do that or not, of course, is a whole another story. With regard to the charter, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that this mayor is anti-Detroit. I don't think that he even supports his own city, Theo, to be honest with you.
I don't think, yes, I agree wholeheartedly that he has been put there because of his personal issues, it seems that someone told him that they would take care of the bankruptcy of Being Steel and take care of the belly up of the Watermark project down on the river and the North End Village product. All three of those things have gone sour. And it just appears to me that he's been told they will be taken care of if he just goes and sits in that seat as mayor, and if he does what he's told, they'll handle it. It just every move that he makes is against the citizens in the city. As it relates to SMART, that's going belly up once again. It was going belly up when it was SEMTA, and Dennis Archer saved them. They changed their name to SMART, and he gave them some of the most lucrative bus routes here.
Yeah, no question. No question.
So now we're back again with the transportation issue. And I don't have not heard anything from the union yet. Have you?
They're of course doing everything they can to be heard. The mayor doesn't want to hear them. In fact, the mayor has decided that he always going to negotiate through the media. He always sends his message through the media instead of talking to them directly. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, as we know, we talked about this on the radio yesterday. They blame the union for the situation they're in right now. You know, on Friday we talked about them cutting service, you know, by 22%. What do they blame it on? They blame it on the mechanics union.
Oh, right. Well, if they would cut SMART out of the city, then the DDOT system could generate enough money to bring those mechanics back to work. And then some of the issues would be solved.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for your call. Thank you for paying attention. God bless you. I do appreciate you. We got to get to the break here. Feel free to give us a call, folks. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift will continue after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. Only, see store for details.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, we get ready to wrap things up. Want to make sure that we get as much in as we possibly can. We are going to go back to the phones. If you do want to join us, I want to encourage that as well. 888-552-3595. Email again, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's welcome Richard in Detroit to the program. Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
Wanted to tell you, talking about privatization, actually tomorrow, City Council will be having a public hearing at City of Detroit to remove union rights under the privatization ordinance that the City of Detroit has. It's a horrible. That bill was passed, or that ordinance, rather, was passed after the city citizens went to the polls and voted in a new charter in 1997. That charter required a privatization ordinance. And basically what the ordinance does is it says if you're going to privatize work, you have to first explain why, give a good reason, and then go to the city workers who do the work and say, can you beat it? And then after going through all of that, then the city can privatize. Well, not once have they actually followed the ordinance, but what the city council is doing at the unction of the mayor is saying that that ordinance does not apply. They're having a public hearing tomorrow over whether or not the ordinance would apply to any employees who are members of a union. So in other words, they want to remove any union members from having applicability for that ordinance. So it's essentially union discrimination. If you're in a union, you don't get rights under the privatization ordinance. And that's what they're trying to do. And they're having a public hearing tomorrow at 10 in front of City Council for anyone and everyone who's interested in preserving rights in the city of Detroit, especially for unionized labor.
Well,
I would encourage everyone to come out.
Well, absolutely, Richard. And I would hope that there would be a massive amount of people that would show up. I mean, this is not just disrespectful to union men and women. It's disrespectful to democracy.
It's discrimination.
It is absolutely discrimination, the worst kind of discrimination. And again, you know, we now no longer need to at least guess at what they're trying to do. They are trying to go completely union free. And what the hell do they, Richard, think they get by doing that?
Yep. Well, and here's the, just as a quick factoid on how this ordinance is supposed to, how these companies come in and they raid our city. You wonder why the city is in a budget deficit. Last year, you recall, the union workforce in the city of Detroit was forced to take a 10% pay cut. Well, everyone asked the mayor, are you going to make the contractors take a 10% loss in pay in their contracts? You know what he did, Tony? He sent out a letter to every contractor, which said, would you mind taking a 4% reduction in what you get under the contract?
By the way,
Mr. Contractor, if you don't want to take that 4%, don't worry. We'll still pay you your normal wage because we're getting it out of the backs of the workers who make 30-some thousand a year, who are many of them are on public assistance going to work full-time.
Wow.
That's why we're in a deficit, because they won't go after those contractors. And now they're trying to remove union labor from having any rights under that ordinance.
And Richard, let's remind people that union labor are middle class people. Those contractors are not middle class. Those are upper middle class or even upper class folks that are making six figures a year, $130,000, $140,000, $150,000 a year, while they're asking the man or the woman that makes $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to take 10, 20, 30% pay cut.
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's why tomorrow at 10 o'clock in front of City Council, we hope that every person who wants to preserve democracy, who stands against union discrimination in the city of Detroit, will show how dare they suggest in the union town, how dare they suggest in a union town that union members ought to be discriminated against and lose rights under the law simply because you decided to vote to have a union. Well, that's ridiculous.
And they're going to force people not only to strike, they're going to force the city into court. We know how well this city does when they go to court, Richard. All we have to do is look at their track record to know that they're really good at losing.
I'm actually a union lawyer. I know that firsthand.
All right. Well, it just disgusts me. What you just told me disgusts me. I'm so glad you and the last caller have enlightened me in ways that I didn't realize I'd be enlightened today, but we need to fight this. Folks, you need to show up to the city council chambers tomorrow at 10 a.m., and you need to express your displeasure with this mayor and this city council for even having the damn discussion to begin with.
That's right.
You know, Richard, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it, brother.
All right, man. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, absolutely. Do keep me posted. Wow. Jeff, is that not a mind blower? Damn. Some crazy stuff, folks. All right, let me get some announcements in. Very quickly. I want to remind people, November 9th, there is a GOP debate at Oakland University. Today's in Las Vegas. Next one in Detroit, in the Detroit area. If you'd like to go, send me an email, and I'll email you the information and how you can participate in protesting the GOP candidates at Oakland University, just tony@thetonyshow.org. Don't forget as well, tomorrow, Love Your Body event, the media and body image on Wednesday, October 19th, free refreshments, a 50-50 raffle, and a prize raffle. The speaker is Amanda Levitt of Love Your Body Detroit, followed by a screening and discussion of Killing Us Softly, an analysis of women in advertisement. This is sponsored by Oakland County Now. If you'd like to go, oaklandcountynow@gmail.com or 248-561-4228. So give them a call. The spaghetti dinner for the community Democrats that represent a bunch of communities here on the west side of southeast Michigan, including Canton, Plymouth, Westland, and others, is this Friday. And the special guest is not exactly Rick Snyder, who will be interviewed by not exactly John Stewart. Actually, he is John Stewart, just not exactly that John Stewart. Should be. Anybody that's been to the Rick Snyder show that we've been posting for a while, that's the guy that's going to be there. It's going to be a fun evening. All-you-can-eat spaghetti dinner. It's at the Burton Manor in Livonia. Again, it's this Friday. Starts at 5:30, goes from 5:30 to 9, and you can call 734-464-4226 for tickets or email comdemclub, comdemclub, at yahoo.com. Damn it. Don't have time for last word again today. That's all right. We gotten some important information out, and that's important. Another one real quick since I got the time. Tomorrow night, a conversation with Congressman Hanson Clark. It's a town hall meeting and gives members of the community and the press an opportunity to voice their opinions and ask questions regarding the issue of the district, state, and nation that we're currently facing. It's going to be at the Grosse Pointe South High School, and that's in Grosse Pointe Farms. And tomorrow, 6 to 7:30, and that's going to do it for me. I got to get out of here. It's just time. Jeff and Anthony, thank you for everything. An awesome audience. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Again, the email address. And I always, as always, I ask that you be well.
1010 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking a lot better out there on the freeways now. A couple of accidents have cleared, the one of the Jefferies and the one of the Southfield freeway. So I have southbound between 12 mile down to around 9 mile. You're going to find some minor delays there, and that's really about it. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly cloudy, a high near 58, 30% chance of rain in there as well. Tonight, rain is more than likely. It's almost a certainty. Low around 46, and then tomorrow, the rain sticks around. We'll see a pretty good soaking by the end of the storm, a high near 55. Right now, it's fair and 42 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support...